Hey everyone, welcome to this is going to be one of my favorite episodes. I already know. Another episode of the Drop the Mic podcast show. I am your host, Darren Jenkins. And on today's show, okay, before I say this, you guys have given, I always try to figure out who's going to give me the most challenging names I've ever had. And you guys so far are in the lead, but I feel like I can conquer it by saying Sitska, Morsch, and Remy Lu.
Yeah. Remy Lau. Yeah.
Remy Lau. Okay. Yeah. But they make up the dynamic combination of the group that I've come to know as Secret Rendezvous. And I am so excited to have you guys here, coming all the way from Amsterdam, baby. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, sure. We're excited to talk to you.
Thank you for
inviting us. This is an exciting time for you guys. This is a big week. I mean, you got a new single dropped this week, right?
Yeah. It dropped a couple of days ago, and we're right in the middle of promoting it. So it's going really well so far.
Well, I've been listening to it all this morning. I've listened to it. Like, I wish there was a way for you to look at your analytics on Spotify and just see names of people, because you would probably like, what is this guy, like a stalker? He like plays our music all the time. Literally, I stumbled upon you guys through my love of music. I was listening to Spotify. I think it was an acoustic soul playlist. And one day this came, your At Your Best cover came on. And I was just like, wait, this is not Aaliyah. Who, what? Who is this? This is dope. This is really cool. And I've been in love with your music ever since. It's been love at first listen. So I want to get step back a little bit and find out like where you're from and how did you fall in love with music?
Well, I'll start first. I'm from a small town, like 45 minutes up north from Amsterdam. It's called Amdijk, which means next to the... It's called a dike, right?
Yeah, dike.
So it's near like a lot of water. It's really small town. And my dad is a musician. My mom is really into music. She sings for fun, and very musical background. Uncles and aunts sing.
Wow.
Or play instruments. So
that must be fun around the house.
Yeah. My dad is always jamming on his guitar, and we got like a radio in every room that's on a different channel, and a lot of music. So it was from a baby, just always music in our house.
Yeah, and your mother was a music programmer of a club.
Yeah,
a jazz club.
Yeah, in our town. She is actually, well, she's retired now, but she was an accountant. But as a hobby, since she's so into music, she started programming bands in the village, because she was like, we need to get these bands over here because they're amazing. So
we could tell her we could use her skill set in New York. Let me tell you.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because like, so I actually, one of my side projects is I actually manage a music artist by the name of Chris Saunders. And let me tell you, getting booked sometimes is such a like incredibly big pain. And you'd think with all the different music venues here in New York City, it would be pretty easy, but it's not. Mm. And so when you do get booked, when you finally do get booked, really, you have to really crush it, because it may or may not be the only time you can ever play there again. So you have to build those relationships. So having a champion like your mom, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She was just like, these bands need a stage. So let's book them. So yeah, I don't think it happens a lot anymore. Right now, the scene in Amsterdam and in Holland is also changing a little bit. But
so did she ever book you guys?
Yeah, she did. Oh, yeah, wow. That was fun. Yeah.
That must have been fun for her, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and all the people from the village who saw me growing up, they're like, oh, that's her music. Yeah.
So were you one of these kids that just walked around the house singing all the time? And Remy, where are you from, and what was your entry point to music?
Well, it's a little bit different than Sietske's family, but my uncle played a little bit of guitar, and another uncle as well. My parents, they don't play any instrument, but they have a big love for music. So my dad and my mother traveled a lot, and when my dad was in New York or something, he goes to the record store, so he finds Miles Davis record or Jimi Hendrix records. So yeah, they had a really good taste, like the Stones and Jimi Hendrix, Beach Boys, and so I heard a lot of music. But I it was more of a sports family, so we were all playing badminton. Like lots of Asian people are playing badminton. So it wasn't like, you're gonna play an instrument. But then I met friends, and we were skateboarding a lot and listening to hip hop music and punk music, because the skate scene is, they listening to hip hop, punk, electronic music. It's really broad. So then my interest came into guitar playing, and the rest is history.
I wonder, how your youth and like you said, you didn't grow up in a specifically a music environment. How does that shape what type of music you create right now? Because I feel like, everybody kind of, as you grow, you kind of gain all these different experiences and stuff. And for me, I only wish my mom was like a composer. I think that would have been so cool. But we listened to a lot of music around the house, like everybody. I have a broad range. I actually, a lot of my musician friends, I know music that they don't even know. And they're like, what? Who's that? Who's this? Who's that? And I'm like, because I really, like my earlier childhood, my mom encouraged us to explore and experience different types of music, and we played it all the time. So I always wonder, for those of us who do grow up to be music artists or composers or producers, how does that shape the kind of music artist that you become?
Well, I think most new music I discovered through friends who aren't in music. They aren't a musician, but they are a DJ, or they love music. And they are always searching for new stuff. And I think most musicians, they listen, I think, lots of stuff in their own genre.
Or like really complex technical stuff.
And they don't discover lots of new things. Also because you're, especially as a writing artist, you're pretty busy with your own music.
Right, right, yeah. You guys produce all of your own stuff, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. I've had a number of music artists on my show. I had one by the name of Jasmia Horn, who's a jazz vocalist, and she's kind of like you. She was with a label, and I think as of the time that she came on our show, her contract was up with her label, and she decided she's like, you know what, you guys don't really want to do what I want to do. Like I have a vision of how I want to produce and how I want to create. Because I think the thing, what the separator was, she wanted to do like this album with all this big band, big brass type, you know, and they didn't want to do it because of the cost. And she said, well, then I'll do it myself. And her second album, our third album, I think she produced herself, which, if I'm not mistaken, was nominated for a Grammy. Yeah, exactly.
So good.
Do you miss, like, so have you ever been on a label, or is it always been, you know, on your own?
Our previous EP back in the day was with a label in Holland called Boogie Angst. They do a lot of like disco, funk, hip hop. So we work with them, and starting out, it was never our intention to just do it all ourselves. We all had to figure out what the hell
I was going
to
say. There's a lot of stuff that you probably didn't know, and was wondering what you did, what you should have known, you know. So
yeah, we really had to dive into marketing and hiring people, and how do you get on radio? How do I know? Hire photographers and directors. Sometimes we did the videos ourselves. We had to learn how to video edit. And so there's a lot of, if you want to do something and you don't have a budget, you just got to learn it yourself, or try to find people who believe in you and want to do it on like a smaller budget. But yeah, we learned so much over the years.
What was the one thing you think you learned that was the most surprising when you were doing it? Like, holy, why would anybody want to do this for a career? Or what's the hard, what would you consider one of the more difficult pieces of that puzzle?
Well, we all played in different bands, and I was once playing with a band from Belgium, and I spoke a lot with the producer about the productions and the songs, and I was telling him, yeah, I'm working with my own band, blah blah, I'm putting stuff out. And the first thing he said was like, put your money in the marketing. And I was like, yeah, why? I want to have better gear to record.
Yeah.
And he said, no, put it in the marketing and promotion. It's more important. Mm. And I was like, sure. And now years later, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely true.
Yeah.
Because, you can make beautiful stuff, and lots of people will discover you through Spotify, etc. But to get your music out there on the radio or TV, you have to hire people, and you want to press vinyl and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that maybe you too, and that we underestimated.
Yeah. Because there's there are a lot of amazing artists who don't have any money for PR or hiring people, and who get under the radar, and we're like, oh, but they're so good. What is happening?
Like
mediocre people with like maybe a rich dad or something and some money.
No comment. I'm not going to
not
even comment
on
that.
Particular I'm thinking about. But
no.
in the long run, they don't have a consistent career. Those people.
Yeah. It is true. I mean, if you see like the even the biggest artists, there's always something out there for you to take in from them. While I was doing research on you guys, I actually stumbled onto something so I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan.
Me too.
And you guys mentioned something. You guys said you were, one of your singles was on Pharrell's beat. Was it Beats One? I think it was.
Yeah. Undertone.
I was like,
that's
what is
cat?
That's okay. I got one back there somewhere. I never heard of Beats One. never. So I was like, oh, gotta listen to this. So I went on YouTube, and it was like a conversation between him, Tyler the Creator, Justin Timberlake. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to sit and listen to this all day, because I can listen to music conversation anytime. So if you guys ever get bored and you just want to have conversation about music, just say, hey, Darren, what are you doing? Okay. And I'll come
on. We'll find you.
No problem. So I was reading something that you put out, and it said that you kind of describe your music as indie R&B. Some of your influences were interesting, where it was Prince and Janet Jackson, and it's funny because I went and listened to all of your music, and crazy, right? But I could see like this evolution. I could hear an evolution of your music. It was just like, it was like stepping from the 80s to right now, very literally. It was so cool. And even this new single that you have out has like I listened to it the first time, and then I took the headphones off and I said, okay, what am I reminded of? And this reminds me, first of all, it reminds me of summer. Second, it reminds me, has like you took a little Pharrell and you squeezed it into the glass. And you like said, look, you know what? Let me get a dash of the 2000s, early 2000s in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you are going for?
Yeah. Shall we tell the like a reference that we had?
Ooh,
shall we
ooh.
Tell?
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So there's like a sound. I forgot what it's called, but there's like a bending sound. It's a percussion thing. Do you remember the name?
Oh, the flexitone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Flexitone.
I heard that sound, but I had to find the song again to see where I got it from, and it's from Tony from Let's Get Down.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's actually in my mind like the reference for this song.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. Now I have to go back and listen to that song again. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I love Tony, like huge fan. Huge.
Yeah, Rafael Sadiq is amazing.
Yeah, I have not seen him live yet. It's on my bucket list. So I've been doing a lot of live music this year since COVID kept me locked down. So I just kind of been like, I started like last December and just said, I'm going to look at, I want to see all the artists that I know either are probably about to finish up their careers and I will never get to see them again, or people I've never seen before. So I've never seen Leila Hathaway. So I went to see her on Saturday. I'm going to see Duran Duran in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool.
Which is my all time favorite. It was the first, I think the Reflex was the first song I ever learned to play on the keyboards.
Yeah. How do you play keyboard?
I dabble. I'm not ready to play before anybody yet. But every now and then I will pull out my MIDI and play around on it. So I'm a wannabe musician. So that's what you call me. This latest song, so much of a summertime bopper. Like, it's just very fun and very like ice cream and just cool music and Nikes and, you know, I think that's or Puma sweatsuits and, you know, Kangles, and it's very, very cool. Are there any artists that like you kind of look towards the future and say, those are some artists that I would love to like kind of either kind of play around with on some tracks, or you know, work. Because the reason why I'm asking this is because as I was listening to that interview with, you know, Pharrell and Justin, it just struck me as how artists work. They were talking about how they could come into a room with nothing, like nothing, and maybe one dude is humming something and another dude is kind of beatboxing something or humming something, and they kind of start seeing things gel together. And I always wondered, like, is that based on how, like, can you do that with any artist, or are there like certain artists that you like just are so familiar with in your head that if you were to be in the room with them, it would kind of be a natural fit?
Yeah, well, it depends on the personalities.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I think Pharrell is maybe a really good example. I mean, he's amazing, obviously, but also really humble and chill. And I'm super sensitive, so sometimes I look up to someone and they are like way too arrogant, and they have every right to, but then I would shut down if we were to work together. So
yeah. Sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it flows easily. Yeah.
Are you, so on your label, are you working with any other artists? Like, are you producing any other artists? Are you going to produce any other artists?
We hope to do that in the future. I just started co-writing with other artists.
Cool.
Since like 5 months or something. But yeah, we're not anything like specific right now, but we would love to produce and maybe later on even put other artists out on our label. Who knows? But right now we're just focusing on making our own music and finishing an EP, and sometimes there will be like projects that come our way and we'll jump in, but it's kind of hard. You can get easily distracted, so
right,
especially me, so like I'm speaking for myself. So yeah, if I do like 5 different projects, I'm all over the place and nothing gets done.
So that's a great segue into my next question. What is your creative process? You guys, how's the song come together with you guys? How do you guys work? Because, and this also goes back to your comment about Remy wanting to be kind of a perfectionist. So I'm curious about how this all gels together.
Well, I don't even remember how Feel So Good started. Do you know?
I think I had a lyrics. I think I had the lyrics first, or like the chorus. I don't think I even wrote it on like a demo. So maybe the lyrics were there first, and I liked the concept of the chorus, and I never gave up on it. And we tried a couple different productions, and they all sucked. And I just thought, no, the concept is good. We're gonna find it.
I remember you had the chords of the pre-chorus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But they were totally different, and then we decided the tempo, and that it has to be more funk disco thing.
Yeah.
And then the bass line. Yeah. Then the bass line. And then we changed the chords, I guess. And but it's always different. Sometimes we have a chord progression.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's only the lyrics. Or sometimes you hear another song and you get an idea on that song.
Like a ghost track. Sometimes I can hear like a new song of someone and the first 5 seconds I'm already like... like I'm humming something and I get associations with it. Then I can just write on those 5 seconds like a full song and keep the lyrics, and then we work around it. But I would say like most of our songs started with music first.
Yeah, sometimes I play something on my guitar and she's like, oh, that's a cool vibe.
Yeah.
How many instruments do you play, Remy?
Now guitar is my main instrument.
Okay.
But I can play some chords on keyboards, but I don't call myself a key player.
Okay.
But I can find chords.
Yeah.
But, and how about yourself? How many instruments do you play? I know you said you, I was reading you take piano lessons, and so
I mean that suggests that I'm super good, but I'm not. Well, I can play a piano. I can play like root chords. I also teach singing, so then I accompany my students on a piano, and like every year I try to get a step further on guitar, but I get stuck at the bar chords because then my fingers are like, no, I don't want to. The fun chords are bar chords, and then my motivation stops and then I stop guitar.
Don't worry, I've got a guitar back there screaming at me because it's just looking at me going, what, you don't like me anymore? Because it's like, yeah, I'm like, at some point my fingers just go, I don't do that. I'm sorry. I don't do that.
Can you play like the basic chords, like the campfire chords? Because that's still fun.
Yeah. I mean, I can still, like, I feel like I have fun just experimenting on the guitar with different things. I like one day, I think when I was taking classes, I've only been playing for a couple years. I was taking classes at this place and I was sitting in the lobby just playing. Just playing around, and as it came in, the teacher who I was waiting for came in. And he was like, "What was that?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just playing." He said, "That's pretty sophisticated." I'm like, I don't think it is. I think it's just Darren making some noise."
Yeah, but that's always cool about an instrument, especially guitar. Even if you don't know what you're doing, it's always something happening. By accident?
Yeah.
Who was I listening? Forget somebody. I can't remember. I was watching some interview, well-known music vocalist, and he was being interviewed, and the guy goes, "So you don't read music?" He's like, "Nope, never have, never will." He's like, "I play everything by ear, and I just remember being so like, wow, that's incredible that you can put out such high quality music and not have read any music at all. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing." I'm like, I don't know. Like, I still enjoy his music, so I guess it's a good thing, right? So
yeah, sometimes it's better to not know like everything. There was a time when we worked with in a band we had from school, and we worked with a pianist, and he was like super theoretical, and he sometimes said to me, "Yeah, you can't sing that note. No, it's not in a scale." And I'm like, "You hear me singing it? I can sing it." Because I thought, why can I not sing it? It sounds good. Whatever. So sometimes it's good if you are a little bit open-minded. And I know a lot of people who don't read any music or know anything about theory, and they're still amazing and super creative, so yeah. It's not necessary.
It's more a tool than a necessity.
When it comes to writing the actual songs, lyrics, do you guys kind of combine forces on that, or is there one, like, it kind of bounces back and forth, or?
No, mostly the lyrics are Sitska's experiences. So she writes, and I'm not telling anything about it.
Now, sometimes he's like, "Not a love song about me." Oh my God. I'm like, "I've made a song for you."
Aww.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tried to translate the feelings of the lyrics into the production.
You do, I mean, really just because some, you know, like sometimes I feel like music is a little bit like film, where the collaborations of us can be pretty important, and like the seamless collaboration needs to be very important. Like the director and the actors have to be on sync and so on and so forth. Otherwise, you notice when certain things are awry. And you guys have, like, the music that I've listened to is like a great collaboration. I mean, you guys have a nice chemistry on in the, you can hear it in the music. It's very apparent that, because I was listening to somebody yesterday, another artist sent me some music, and I'm not going to say I'm the best music critic by any means, but I could kind of tell when the she it almost sounded like she was in front of the music too much. And I don't know whether that was the mastering or whether it just was that the chemistry wasn't fully there. The composer didn't know how to emote the music.
Translate the emotion. Yeah.
It was vocals were great. The music was great, but they didn't fit.
Did it came together? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty tough to do. You guys have pulled it off pretty. How long have you guys known each other, and where did you first meet?
Well, we both studied at a conservatory.
Okay.
So it must be 2002.
Yep.
Wow.
20 years.
And 20 years. So.
Oh, so that definitely I see, understand.
And, you guys. And we worked. We didn't start a band immediately, because we were at a pop department of the conservatory, there were not much people that played R&B and soul music and hip hop music.
Oh, true.
So we and other couple of students, we were, the underdogs that played soul music and listened to D'Angelo and, and we all played from that moment in the R&B and soul scene in Holland. So we
really small scene.
Small scene. So we really learned each other in different ways and different projects. And then years later, we started our Elmed.
Yeah. We started out as session musicians. So I was a backing vocalist, and that was and just like learning so much from watching other artists, and being in the background is also like a safe zone where you can observe what's happening and learn all the tricks, but not be like in the spotlight and fall flat on your face. So
I'm all for that. I totally get that. It's a great place to kind of just be part of it, but I'm not part of it.
Yeah. You don't get the blame.
Right.
If something goes wrong.
Right. That's
so we learned a lot from that. And we've been friends like for 20 years also. So we know each other really well. And I think that's also a really good place to create. If you're really comfortable with each other,
that
you can make mistakes, you can throw an idea out there, and don't get your heart crushed, because you really trust each other. So that's maybe the artist you listen to, needs to see who else is out there and find a better click, because it's pretty hard, but it's worth it. You really can hear it in the music.
Yeah.
And we are like, we're really precise before we put something out.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and that's what we learned over the years. So I can easily work, if the song is finished and the production is finished, I easily can work like a week on a mix just to get the vibe right.
Mm.
And then we listen it both and on different systems and maybe other people and see what their reaction is.
I was gonna ask how do you know it's done, right? Like
it's never done.
Never done. sometimes I'm like, it's done. And he's like, no, 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 the snare. Oh, no. Gotta do this. And the mix, let me check in the car. I'll be right back.
And we always work with the same mastering engineer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I really trust him. So when I'm finished, or when I'm feeling I'm finished, because it's never finished,
right.
I put it out to him and...
maybe some friends also.
Yeah, maybe some friends. But I know Jeffrey, our mastering engineer, he's gonna... If he liked the song, he knows exactly how it's has to sound. So, and the first usually when he sends it back, I'm like, But then, like, I listening it to for a couple of days, and like, yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I missed.
Yeah, needs to sink in. So we really, really take our time. I can write lyrics in a day or a weekend, and then the production we take sometimes like months or a year or really long. There are so many layers and... Yeah, we just really want to make like classics and not like fillers. So we need to feel good, and that it would be something that we really want to hear also.
That's important. I mean, I think that's that's kind of like the underrated piece of this, is that you're music fans, right? So you want music that you would be a fan of as well. Like, you know what I mean? It's not just about listening, making music that you think other people will listen to, but you know, you're your ultimate fan. I mean, I guess as a fan of music, what are some artists that, you know, do it? Like, if you're not listening to your own music, if you couldn't listen to your own music, who would you listen to?
I listen to a lot of new artists right now,
and I am taking this list now because I'm always looking for new suggestions. So,
I mean, I'm super happy that like soul and R&B is back, and felt like it was away for a while. Don't know what happened.
I can tell you what happened, but I don't think people want to hear my opinion.
I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, me too.
What is your opinion?
my opinion is that, you know, people forgot the roots, man. It was like the roots of soul and jazz and blues. I think those are the foundations on which a lot of great music is built on. And I think sometimes when you start innovating technology, like from a technology standpoint, you forget those roots. You think you don't need them anymore because, oh, I can just do this, I can just do that. But the reality of it is it all falls back down to the trees of soul and like the old school. I can't count how many times I've listened to a contemporary song and then somewhere down the line someone has sent me the original that was based on, and not, I didn't know it. I'm like, what? I didn't know that. Oh, that's dope. And then it just makes me want to dig through the soul, the classics. I think that's what we're missing. I think now, to your point, I think a lot of the neo soul artists, a lot of the jazz, the new jazz artists, fusion artists, I think they are very in touch with the old school. Yeah. I think they are starting to bring that back because they love music the way you love music. It's as a whole organism, not just bits and pieces of things that they just take out for samples. So,
yeah, you hear a lot of like a lot of kids are in. Influenced by D'Angelo again, you hear those types of grooves again. You're like, yeah, it's back.
Yeah,
yeah. Snap.
And those artists from the 2000s, a lot of them are coming back. A lot of them are recording again, which is so awesome. You know, to hear like I think a couple of weeks ago I was out with a friend of mine, and I just all of a sudden I said, "Where the hell is Babyface? Where is Babyface?"
Yeah,
I haven't. I mean, come on. I mean, dude used to be straight. He was the king.
Yeah.
What happened? You know, I love, you know, like, I love vocals. That's one of the reasons. Another reason why I love your music is because you're a great vocalist. You are fantastic. You. You remind me. Who did I say? You have like this early 2000s, late 90s, like energy, but you also have like this vocals of like a Layla Hathaway I mean, all these different great Neil. So, Erykah Badu. I mean, you know, the combination. Your combination is fantastic.
But that's what you listen to, Lotte.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, a lot of. I mean, I started out like super pop, Mariah Carey, but also still soul influenced, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
She has a great voice. I mean, you can't argue that. So,
yeah.
Whitney Houston.
And then later on, when the Neo Soul movement came, super obsessed with Erykah Badu.
Donny Hathaway and Layla Hathaway.
Yeah. I bought all the records. Amel Larrieux. Yeah.
You listened a lot to Stevie Wonder.
And Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway. Yeah, you got to go back to the roots.
Yeah.
Rita.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like 70s soul and the 90s zeros neo soul, but also like straight up R&B. But maybe R&B went away because it was a little oversaturated, the market, and like neo soul was like a little...
Yeah.
I don't know. The movement was over by the time it hit 2010 or something.
Yeah, Eric Benet kind of was there at the end.
Yeah.
So
loved him too. Yeah, so I'm just glad it's back. And I listen to a lot of like new people, Lucky Day.
Oh yeah.
We're going to his concert in September.
Oh cool.
Amber Mark.
She's cool.
How about Gabe Bondoc? Have you ever heard this dude?
No.
Oh, I will send you. Send you a link to his Spotify. It's really good. Actually, you know who I like? Emily King.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's
that EP
filthy.
Was it her first? No, it was not her first EP. I think she was on a major label first.
Yeah.
And then she went indie, and that EP with Come Back, Georgia, Come Back.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, who is this girl?
I was like, who is this? She's so distinct. Her voice is so distinct and very clean. It's like it's like razor sharp. I'm like, wow.
Very
and
intimate.
She has some like an old school jazz singer vibe.
Yeah.
Her mom is a jazz singer too, so she.
Well, that sounds well. I guess. I actually grew up with Whitney Houston, so you know, yeah. My father and her father worked together for about 20 years. So when she started out, I used to go to all her concerts and hang out backstage and the whole bit. So
that was in Newark.
Yeah, Newark. We were at the same gospel, in the same gospel choir.
Whoa.
Whitney was, she was quite talented.
So. Yeah, you could probably see it early on.
Oh, yeah, it was no doubt, like literally no doubt. And you sit there in church. It's the only time you, like, you know, you go to church and you're like happy you're there because you get to hear that, you know. It's crazy. So
wow.
What is next for this EP? Like when is there an EP coming? Is it soon?
It's not finished yet.
We have the songs.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe we should write like one or two more this summer. But yeah, we just wrote a lot of music, and we're just trying to see what fits with what, and how we're all gonna package it and call it. And but there's a lot of music. We're aiming for the beginning of next year. And yeah, it's just really exciting to make music again. And we've got a show coming up the end of August.
Oh, cool.
Finally performing again. And
I was going to ask you about that. Have you guys gotten to perform because of COVID?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, there were some like live streams that we did. Seated shows. Those were not our favorite. People need to stand up and like...
Yeah,
energetic, but it was still fun. We could still play. Yeah, we did a couple, but it's been a while now. We were just focusing on finishing this single, and I had COVID for 2 months. My voice was gone. So I'm glad that it's all healthy again. So
that's
show
awesome.
In a couple months.
First show in a couple months. Are you excited?
We're going to do this song. We have never played it live. We did do like during the COVID shows, like we tried out two other new songs and tested the reactions of the crowd. But this one we never played live.
Oh, so this should be interesting.
Yeah, that's always very nerve wracking because you still have to get it in your fingers and like, really, cause you've only been producing it for so many months. Right. Playing it is completely different. But
and your live version sometimes is a little different. Just for the audiences to get the audience energy up, you know. So you're I think the audition performing imagine is performed in I don't know quite some time. So first time it will be in September. We have our full band back, which will be cool and a whole bit.
Nice.
I get to stand around and point and do things, you know. Obviously. But that'll be fun. So before we go, at your best, I had to ask this. So, what inspired you to first of all do that specific song, and how? What was your reaction when, I mean, you just went over the 2.5 million mark, right?
Crazy.
On Spotify. That's crazy. That's insane.
I know. We're so happy. We did an acoustic EP from our album For Real.
Yep.
And I thought, what if we did like a cover? Because we had not recorded a cover before that.
Oh.
And I grew up with the Aaliyah version, which I always loved and just sang for myself sometimes. And I think that was the only song that I had in my mind. Like, I think this could be fun if we did this. Mm. And obviously I heard the Isley Brothers version also like a couple years later after Aaliyah. But the Aaliyah's version at first... but we checked out like both and tried to like see how we can blend like the chords of the Isley Brothers and a bit of the vocals from Aaliyah, and people loved it, I guess.
Yes, they did.
Got a lot of reactions, and also like people, so cute, they send us videos. I heard this like two or three times already where they play it for their baby when in the when they're like pregnant. And then they're like, your song was the only thing that kept my baby calm.
Wow. That's so high praise.
Yeah, it's so sweet. So we're happy that it's going so well, and really thankful for the support. That's also because Spotify put it in like a big playlist and they supported it, so that's amazing too.
I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
What would you want your fans to know about your music like one thing that you'd want them to take away from your music, if you had a chance to just say something to them?
I think we really just try to make music that makes you feel good or feel seen, or just give like a warm feeling and makes you feel good. I think there's a lot of I have been in like dark times where music was really helping me get through. So sometimes I just keep that in mind. Like if we are creating a song, that we still check if it's really resonating with ourselves, and then I think it will resonate with other people as well.
Right.
So the emotion, and that it makes you feel something, that's really important for us.
That's absolutely. And we could there's enough negativity in the world. We could use a lot of that's the one thing about music. I think that's one thing I love most about music, is that you can always find something that makes you happy. There's always going to be a song that can get you bopping your head and lift your spirits and make you, or at least make you feel like someone else understands what you're going through.
Yeah.
Which I think is important as well. So, before we go, one quick question. When you're not doing music, what's something you're doing for fun? How are you like relaxing? What's it like away from the music?
Hard one.
Especially for him, he's like more workaholic even than I.
All music.
I can't imagine something else. Wow. Yeah, watch a movie. Go for dinner or walking or.
I'm really into acting.
Oh really?
I studied musical theater also for 2 years, and I still love to watch Inside the Actor Studio.
Oh yeah.
And, like, nerdy shit, and movies, and I love photography. I just got like a really cheap analog camera that I'm like learning more about, and just still creative stuff, I guess. I watch a lot of reality shows on TV for inspiration, obviously.
Of course. So would you guys, have you guys done it? Like, have you scored any or had any music on TV or film? Is that something that you do more of?
Yeah. Speaking of trash TV, we had like 2 songs, but it's a show that I didn't know before, and now I'm following. So I love it. Love Island. We had like 2 songs of original songs of ours that are on Love Island Australia.
Oh, really?
Better Than She Can and What About Us. That was like the first time that happened. So cool to see people kissing and making love on your music, by the way. We were like,
like, okay.
This song, okay. Yeah, really fun. And last year we were, we have like a remix of our song Back in the Day by a really cool producer named High Hoops. And that song got synced twice already for Good Trouble.
The teenage drama, right?
Yeah. No.
Is it like not teenage, but old. I'm old, okay? So when I say teenage, I mean like mid 20s, early 30s or something like that.
Yeah.
That's it's a good show.
Yeah, Good Trouble. And we were on The Last OG. Also.
With Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. With Tracy Morgan, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And I think we even got a request for something else that's maybe coming up or in the pipeline, or let's manifest that. That song is doing really well, and that's so cool because we got a lot of new fans from those shows, and people are like, oh, I heard you want Good Trouble and now I love you.
Yeah, that's something I never could imagine. Like, I always thought they were searching for rock music or more folky music, if you watch series, but now they have our music, and that's really cool.
Wow, that's cool. And you know, you never know. Maybe someone will actually ask you to create something original too for something, which would be cool too. But
yeah,
I mean, I couldn't even imagine waking up and finding out my song was on a TV show. I would think I would freak out.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got a really cool publisher and a really sweet guy also, but he does a great job.
Well, I'm glad, you know, you guys seem to understand how to surround yourself with the right people, and that's really, really important, especially if you're doing everything else yourself. You know, you have to have people you can trust to kind of do the other things that you're not, you know, 100% in all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Good. Well, I have to say, I was very happy when you guys said you would be on my podcast. I told many people. A friend of mine is a DJ in Japan for a station that does mostly soul music. And I sent her, I was like, have you heard of them? And she was like, no, oh my God, this is really good. Maybe I'll play it on the show. I'm like, all right, well, don't tell me, tell them, don't tell me.
She's from the States or
No, she's from Japan. She's from Japan, in Fukuoka. I think it's like the second or third largest station in Japan.
Whoa.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty big. That's literally, she got me hooked on Layla Hathaway. That's because she used to be maybe she still is a backup singer. She's a backup singer. She used to be a backup singer for Kenny Lattimore and Layla Hathaway. And I think I think she backed up Beyonce once or twice or something like that.
Whoa.
Nice.
So, when I was there in Japan, she would take me to all these places to listen to all this, R&B like that I'd never heard of. So, I try to, whenever I hear somebody, most of the time she heard of them already. So it was fun that she hadn't heard you guys. I was like, gotcha. I'm a big fan. If you ever need someone, like I said, to spread the word or anything, feel free to let me know. But I'm glad you got to come on my show today. And you're welcome to come back. And I'm hoping you'll come back when the EP is done. You know, because, I have no problem with breaking news. And, of course, the new single is amazing. And if you are a music lover, if you love summer, this is it. This is the new tune for the summer. Feels So Good, Don't It? Is out right now on all of the digital platforms that you care about. So go up to your favorite platform, and if you're not on it, buy it. And if you're not buying it, stream it. And if you're not streaming it, download it. One of those three, everybody's fine. And you can also go and check out them on their website. All the links are up there to everything, so you can find out more about them. You can listen to old music, new music, stream videos, whatever you need to do to be addicted to these two people right here on my show. And of course, follow them on Instagram at Secret Rendezvous.
Yeah, Rendezvous was already taken. So,
you know, isn't it like
it was too large for Twitter, I think, and then we just kept it that way. Yeah, it was too large for Twitter.
Too long,
I have another podcast show, and my show's name is too long for Twitter too. And I'm like, so it's just like I don't have to get into the naming business. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Hi, yeah, thank you so much.
What's your cat's name?
Jimmy. She's named after Jimi Hendrix. And this is the time that she gets food. She's very obsessed with it. She just wanted to let you know that she's hungry.
Okay, wrap it up now.
Me time. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you being on the show today. And again, let me know if you, I can be of help in any way. And you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah. Thank you. So nice to chat with you today.
And that was an episode of Drop the Mic. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and follow us on Instagram at the Dig This Podcast. And follow us on Facebook at Drop the Mic. And for Drop the Mic, I'm Darren Jenkins. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.